how he wants to do what God tells him to do. Now, is there a proper way to handle with care? Yes. Go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to give you the proper way to deal with this. Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. You notice I'm allowing the Bible to speak for me. I'm not going to tell you anything. Cornelius knew something. God knew this about the man. He blessed the man's life. Look at Romans 12 and 8. For it says, are he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. In the King James it says simplicity. Are he who leads with diligence, he who sows, shows mercy with cheerfulness. But we're dealing with the giving. He who gives should give in a particular kind of way. And this particular kind of way is without fanfare, with cheerfulness, with simplicity. In other words, when you're liberal in your giving of alms, let it be a simple act, a simple deed. It is so smooth that the person that you've assisted doesn't quite get it until after you've done it. You are acting like the Lone Ranger. They will say, who was that masked woman? Who was that person that blessed my life? It'll happen so swift, so smooth. And the person would say, my God, I've never seen it done like that. Beware of the person that wants to help you, that gets in a room and says, I heard you need help. Now, you know the Lord blessed me with a little, and that's exactly what I'm going to give you, a little. I would say I will stay hungry and don't even want to see you. I'm telling you, my friends, the Lord shows us how we are to give. In other words, it will be without fanfare. We fulfill the manner in which the Lord has prescribed for caring for others. We view our giving as a ministry. Stay in Romans, look at chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 25 and 26. You view your giving as if you're dealing with something as a ministry. Paul is writing and he says, but now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor amongst the saints in Jerusalem. See what he's saying? He says, I'm getting ready to move from here to there. Now I'm going to take some money that they've given me and give it to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. It becomes a ministry. You don't give all your money to the preacher. Nor do you give all the money and say, oh, listen, you know some people do in church? Oh, deacons, I know. Deacons, I know this is a dangerous sermon. Because, well, now, brother pastor, what you're doing is you're telling the people that they can dip into the treasury. No, I'm not. I'm saying that if those folk are hungry, if those folk have a need, and they are members of this church, and things get down on them, that we are responsible to put some food in their stomach. That is our responsibility. And if we do not do that, we are not a church. We are a banking and loaning institution. That's all we are. That's why, did you know that some churches have credit unions in them? Credit unions in the church. And they will charge you 25% interest when they loan you some money. They come in every week and they say, man, I just need a loaf of bread and some biscuits. Well now, sign the documentation. Where were you born? How old are you? How many children does your mother have? What do you own in real estate? And then you give them $100, and then every month when they come back to church, well, my brother, you're not a member in good standing. You know what they're saying? We want the money back. God needs to shut that thing down called the so-called church. But you need people in a stewardship position that can sit down with you and say, tell me what you need is. Tell me what you need is. And then the officers of the church says, we're going to meet that need. And then the officers are supposed to say, what are you doing to resolve this condition? Because we're not going to meet your need for 6 months. We're going to get you a job. Well, now, I don't want to work. Officers, cut him off. Your stomach needs to hurt. See what I mean? Don't you try to use God's church. Don't try to use his people. Don't try to use the church as a welfare system. This is not what they were meeting. Oh, my friends, oh, I know how people are. I was born and raised in Washington. I know a game every day of the week. And when they come to me and say, what kind of a game is it? Where do you think I'm from? Albuquerque or something? Hey, born and raised in South Central. I've seen games. My goodness, I got here this morning early and a lady was walking down the street motioning to somebody on the other block and saw me and said, can you give me a quarter? I said, no, give you a quarter. I almost said, what can you do with a quarter? And if she hits everybody down the street getting a quarter, she's going to have $500 by the time she gets to Western Avenue. I done worked real good today. Hey, let me get out there and walk around. Hey, can you give me a quarter? Woo, look at this. Can you give me a dime? Hey, that ain't working. No. So when people come to God's house and try that, you're going to get jammed on the rebound because I know your number. I know your game. I know your game. See, my friends, we look for the opportunity to give of our abundance, not only for the cause of the church in a general sense, but we also look for a cause to meet the needs of others. That is very important. We've got to meet the needs of others. And we have to do that because we're living in a world where people have a need. You see, think about it. You have most large Christian organizations, I mean, give hundreds and thousands of dollars every year for poor orphan children in South America and in India and all these things. Now, you've got to look at your own ministry. What are we doing? Good godly brother of mine contacted me from Africa. And he said, Pastor John, we have a need of some money here. Now, the difficulty that we had, brothers, with that is that if we send the money, now they're ripping off the money in the mail. So you have to be very careful sending money to Africa now. You're sending it to a Christian organization. Next thing you know, that money's not going to get there. So I wrote the brother back and told him, you got to figure out a way for us to get the money to you. We're not sending you anything through the mail because they forge names and it doesn't go to the Christian organization. But did you know that I told that brother in this letter, I said, we have needs to be met in this city. So we got to meet the needs of the brothers and sisters where we are. And so when you leave there and go back to Africa, you think that all of America is like that. So I try to ask that brother, you need to come down to South Central and spend some time down here and see these brothers ain't got nothing and we ain't going to be sending you no whole bunch of money to Africa. Then I told him, now you write one of these big goo-gob churches that got millions. You know, they feel good. You know, that's called guilt money. You know, well, we're going to send it to Africa. And yeah, right. Okay, sending it to Africa. And I just told the brother, we have needs here. So I would rather see a sister with four or five kids and a joker husband run out on her and she needs a bag of food. And if we got some money for that in the church, let's get her a bag of food. I'm not going to give her no money, Mark. I'm going to give her the bag of food. See, so Christians, be careful of that. Every time somebody needs something, you're going to start writing a check. I'm telling you, your balance is going to go down. Ask them what they need and then meet the need. But try not to give them money because most of these folk are going to put it up their nose or in their veins. And they're not medical physicians. I know what they're doing. My friends, I'm telling you that the Lord would have us to keep in mind those who are not as fortunate as we are in terms of this world's goods. Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. God wants us to keep in mind those that are less fortunate than we are. And like I said, I got some good folk in this church. They're already doing it. You know, they have a ministry for that. That's great. Look what the Word says. And recognizing the grace that has been given unto me, James, Cephas, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. And then it says, they only ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do. So Paul says, when I got my commission, one of the first things that I was eager to do as a pastor is to remember the poor. The first thing we do when we get to be middle-income Christians, I moved on up to the west side. Yeah, you sure have moved up. Don't even want to come over here to the east side. Some of these brothers looking for a church, you know what they say sometimes? Oh, let's go west. Why? What's the matter with the east side? Let's help them on the east side. Paul got a vision and he said, the man from Macedonia, he said, hey man, come on over and help us. Listen, we got some folk here starving for salvation on the east side. And you know, I know how it is. Let's go find a beautiful church where there's no problems. And man, listen, you want to get lost in oblivion. Paul said, I look for the opportunity to minister to the poor. So Some of us in the 20th century are looking for an opportunity to take care of ourselves and to laugh at the poor. I know it's true. We as believers are to be ready to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. And I hope that you're writing all these scriptures down, because when people say, does your church believe in that? Sure we do. 1 Timothy 6 and 8 says, and if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Now, this is a very interesting verse, because Paul says, if you have food and covering, with that food and covering, be content. Now, let me add something to this, and I'm not adding to Scripture. There are some folks that don't have any food. Are you content? Well, they told me to be content with my food. Are you content? They're hungry. Are you content? They can't change clothes. Are you content? They don't know where their next meal is coming from. You content? Well, am I my brother's keeper? Yes! Yeah, you your brother's keeper. Yes, you are. Especially since you're a believer, you're supposed to have the love of Christ in you. Yeah, but my kid wants a $185 pair of tennis shoes. Give him a pair of $20 shoes, take the $105 you got left over, and help somebody. Matter of fact, go in the closet and take the tennis shoes and sell them, and give the money that you get from selling that kid's tennis shoes and give it to the poor. Oh, you want to figure out, hey, have a front yard sale. Take all that stuff you don't need in your house and sell it for nothing. Get rid of it for almost nothing. And then take the money down the street to somebody that has nothing and say, I just sold all my goods. As a matter of fact, take some stuff out of your house if you've been in somebody else's house and you know they don't have it, and just give it to them. But if you walk away saying, why did I do that? Give it up. Give it up. You cannot walk away saying, I can't give that up. You got three cars, right? You're only driving one. See somebody that needs a car. Give it away. What? I have to work. Give it away. Well, what am I going to get? Nothing. But the joy to know that you've given it to someone that doesn't have. Bless their lives. Now, I work too hard for this. Oh, I got your number. And then you're going to say, Lord, have I not been faithful?
You know why I like this series? Because when I preached it, I had to be faithful to it. There was a time when Lucy and I were blessed with a lot of money, and we had three cars. As a matter of fact, in my ministerial life career, I've given two cars away. A Plymouth Reliant and a Dodge, it was a Honda station wagon. Gave it away to members of the church. One lady was a single parent, had two kids. She promised to pay me $100 a month for 18 months to pay for the car. And it was a nice little car, running good. She only paid me 1 month, and I haven't seen her since. Another brother and his wife, nope, they never paid for the Honda. But you know what? Just the joy of giving it away. Because I didn't need it. I had two other cars. My wife had hers. I had my, at that time, a little 75 classic Cadillac. Gave it away. See, I'm just not preaching to hear myself preach. I'm just not making statements. And that's why a lot of people over the years have not liked or cared for me too much in ministry. Because I'm not only telling you how it's supposed to be done, but as a pastor, I demonstrated it. Let's keep listening. I'm learning more and more, and I'm loving it. Back to the sermon. Oh.